All right, tonight we're in the book of Romans, chapter 7. You'd find your Bible and open it to the book of Romans, chapter 7. Tonight we're going to focus on verses 7 through 14. But what I'd like to do is start over at verse 1 and read through verse 14. This particular chapter, of course, deals with our relationship to the law. And last week we looked at verses 1 through 6, but I'd like, again, to start over at verse 1 and read through verse 14, and then we'll get into tonight's lesson. The Bible says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." And we'll stop reading right there. Again, our goal tonight is to get through verses 7 through 14, just a little bit of review from last week, and then we'll look at verses 7 to 14. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God who is our teacher. Please guide and direct our thoughts tonight. Help me as I speak. Give me wisdom to know what to say. And help us to understand this passage and how we can use it in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I did want to notice again the introduction of these notes that we handed out. Romans 6 explains that the believer is dead to sin because he has identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. This answers the question of Romans 6:1, where it says, "Shall we continue in sin?" Of course, the answer was no. Romans 7 answers a second question from Romans 6, found in Romans 6:15, where it says, "Shall we sin because we are not under the law?" The answer is no, because we are dead to the law, just like we are dead to sin. God wants us to understand that to be under the law means that I must do something for God, but to be under grace means that God does something for me. In this chapter, Paul explains the believer's relationship to the law by giving us a series of duets. First, he talks about two husbands. That's verses 1 to 6. We went over that last week. Second, he talks about two discoveries, verses 7 to 14. And that's what we're going to see this evening. And then third, he talks about two principles in verses 15 to 25. You remember from last week, the two husbands are, first of all, the law. And we were married to the law, but because we died with Christ on the cross, that means we were free or freed from the law. And then we're supposed to be married to our different husband, which is Christ. That's the second husband that's mentioned here. First husband, the law. Second husband is Christ. And we're free to be married to Christ because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. You know, what he did for us, freed us from the law, made it so that we could marry another, which is Christ. And hopefully now we are living with him and living for him and doing all that he wants us to do. So that's the two husbands, verses 1 to 6. Then tonight, verses 7 to 14, the two discoveries. And the first discovery is in verse 14, and that is that the law is spiritual. You know, in this passage that I read for you, Paul asked a question which was an obvious answer of no, but, you know, is the law sin? And, of course, the law is not sin. What the law does is it reveals sin, okay? It's kind of like this. An illustration from today in my life. You ready? For lunch today, my wife and I had a bowl of soup. And it was a great soup. It was delicious. Had little noodles in there, like what kind of noodles are those?
Rotini.
Yeah, like rotini type noodles. And sauce was so good. But also inside this soup, this bowl of soup, were little bitty meatballs. Okay, little bitty meatballs. So I'm eating my soup, and I'm, getting a spoon of that and bringing it to my mouth. And don't you know, one of the meatballs fell off the spoon onto my shirt. Now, thankfully, I'm not wearing that shirt tonight. But I have to be honest with you, my flesh really got upset. Now, I didn't throw anything or kick anything or swear or anything like that, but I was sure irritated. I was sure irritated. Number one, because I lost that meatball. You know, it fell off on my shirt. And secondly, because, again, it fell on my shirt. So I was really irritated by that. Well, I got up, you know, and I got a wet rag and I worked on that a little bit. And again, I'm not wearing that shirt tonight, but I got it out as best as I could. And so then I sat back down, and I continued to eat my soup. And don't you know, this time, a couple of bites later, I'm taking another bite with a spoon, and one of those little noodles fell off and went on my shirt again. Now, you say, well, were you irritated? I was doubly irritated this time because it fell on my shirt again, you know. So anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this. If I'm eating the soup in the dark and it falls on my shirt, I mean, I would probably feel that, but I couldn't see it. You only see it when you're in the light, you know. So if I were in the dark, I couldn't see what my shirt looked like after that fell on my shirt, all right? But if I'm in the light, now I can see what it did to my shirt, okay? So much like that, you know, the Apostle Paul is asking that question here, you know, is the law sin? Well, no, the law isn't sin, but the law, like the light, reveals the sin. Just like the light reveals the sauce that's on my shirt or where the meatball hit my shirt and it leaves a little mark because of the sauce, just like that, the law is like that light that shows you where that is, okay? And of course, what I did was I went and grabbed a wet rag and tried to get that sauce off my shirt and so forth. And you know how it works. You never get it all, right? I mean, even after your shirt dries, you still see just barely where that meatball hit your shirt. But the point is, I'm trying to make here is you try to do something about it once you see it, okay? I've told you things like this about me because I'm kind of bad this way. I like dilly bars, you know, from Dairy Queen, but almost always when I eat a dilly bar, a little piece of the chocolate will fall off on my shirt. Almost always that happens to me. And again, only because the light is there can you see that. Well, the law is much like this, okay? Is there sin without the law? Well, of course there is. But you don't know about it. You don't recognize it. You don't see it. You don't try to do something about it unless the law comes into the picture and shows that to you. Okay? Much like, by the way, this is one of the reasons why sometimes people get away from the Lord in their heart. What happens is they stop reading their Bible, they stop going to church, they stop fellowshipping with other Christians, because all of that brings the light back into their life and shows them that they're doing wrong. See? So they start avoiding church and avoiding the Bible and avoiding their Christian friends. It's almost always that way, by the way. When somebody strays from the Lord in their heart, they almost always start staying away from church, staying away from the Bible, staying away from their Christian friends. Because all those things bring the light into their life and show them where they're doing wrong. Okay? The law is like that. Okay? The law is like that. And the law is spiritual. Verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin." Why is it that people don't want to hear the simple truths of God's word? Because they're carnal. They're sinful. And the law is spiritual. And when you're mentioning what the law says or what the word of God says, that points out our sinfulness. And that's called, by the way, conviction. And people don't like conviction. So they stay away from church and they stay away from, you know, the Bible reading and things like that. The law is spiritual. That's the first discovery that Paul mentions here. You notice also in verse number 12, it says this, "Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good." So not only is the law spiritual, it's also holy, just, and good. Now again, we're not. Again, in and of ourselves, without Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are not holy and just and good. The law is, though, and the law is holy, and it demands holiness. The law is just, and it's equal for everyone, okay? The law is good because it comes from God. The law is holy and just and good, and again, it points out our failures and our shortcomings and our sinfulness. Notice verse 7 and 8. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" This is that question I was referring to earlier. And notice Paul's response, "God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Verse 8, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead." The law is not only spiritual and holy and just and good, but the law reveals sin. The law reveals sin. It's pointing out to us our sinfulness, like the light showing a stain on something or whatever. The law, when we read it, when we hear it, what does it do? It condemns us because we're sinful and we're sinners. By the way, we're all sinners. Okay, pastor, all the way through the whole congregation, we're all sinners, and sin appears sinful because of God's law, all right? Sometimes people get upset by somebody who's preaching faithfully what the Bible says, but they really shouldn't get upset at that person. They're really upset at God's law and God's word and what God says, see? And I just say this, I think the one they really should be upset with is not God. The one they should really be upset with is themselves. Because they're sinful. And they need a Savior, okay? Sin appears sinful because of God's law. And notice, this, I have this in your notes too, and this is important. Sin is not just a mistake or a disease. Sin is sin. You know, isn't it funny how we are in this world in which we live right now? This particular time period in history, we are really good at giving terrible things other names, right? Or other terms, so that it's not quite so appalling to hear about. You know, we are really good at just kind of glossing over sinful things. Alcoholism is sinful. Homosexuality is sinful. Adultery is sinful. This whole transgender thing that's going on in our world today, that's sinful. You know, you could call it other names if you want to, and they do that, but it's sin. That's what it is. Now, I recognize people don't want to hear that, and that doesn't make you popular when you talk this way, all right? But if the Bible says it's sin, it's sin, and it needs to be named that. Stop trying to gloss it over and put a nice bow on it and a little frosting and make it look okay. It's just, it's still sin. It's sinful and it's wrong. And that's why, you know, how do I say what I'm thinking right here? You know, there's a church, I think it's a Methodist church, right across the street from the high school. And they have a gay pride flag flying out there almost all year long. How long do you think it'll be before we have a gay pride flag flying outside the church building? Yeah, when hell freezes over. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It's, you know, and why? Not because we're against, you know, individual people and things like that. We are against that lifestyle because God says it's wrong. Okay, we still love those individuals and we want them to hear about the gospel and how to be saved, but we're not going to promote that lifestyle because according to the Bible, it's wrong. See, it's wrong. It's sinful. So the law shows us that. The law is spiritual and just and holy and good. It reveals sin. Notice verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. See, the law reveals the sinfulness of sin. The law reveals the sinfulness of sin. And that's relating, of course, man's outward actions. Let me just ask you this. The outward actions, like drunkenness or drug addiction or child trafficking or adultery, or I can name 101 different things. The outward actions like that, where do they come from? They come from the heart. They come from the heart. No wonder the Bible says that in salvation, God takes out the stony heart and gives you a new heart. See, the heart of man, remember this, Jeremiah 17, verse 9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately, what does it say? Wicked. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And please understand, mine, yours, everybody's. This is why we need a Savior. This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need someone to forgive us and to cleanse us of that sinfulness. We wouldn't realize how wicked we are unless we are in God's Word, which is God's law, okay? We wouldn't realize how wicked we are unless we were in God's Word. I mentioned something a couple of weeks ago about a certain person that I heard say that, you know, I believe that God is okay with the way I'm living. Now, this person is living very wrong, okay? But I believe God's okay with the way I'm living, and I'm at peace with it and all that kind of stuff. And guess what? This person doesn't go to church. This person doesn't read their Bible. This person doesn't stay around Christian friends. Well, no wonder you're comfortable with the way you're living, because there's nothing there to point out your sinfulness. There's no God's law there to shine the light on how sinful and wicked you are. What do you expect? Which is, again, by the way, I said it earlier, when people get crossways with God in their heart, they start staying away from church and the Bible and all that kind of stuff, you know, because you don't want to be reminded. They don't want God shining his flashlight in their life and showing them their sinfulness. So the law is spiritual, it's holy, it's just, it's good, it reveals sin, it reveals the sinfulness of sin, and it also reveals, by the way, sin's payday. Look at verse 9 and verse 10. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. See, the commandment was ordained for life, but the reason it brings death is because we can't keep the commandments. We can't keep them in any way, shape, or form. If you've broken one, you've broken them all, the book of James says. So when the commandment came, or when God's law came, it reveals to us sin's payday. And sin's payday, by the way, is going to be suffered by lots and lots and lots of people who refuse Jesus as their personal Savior. I can't pay for my sin, nor can you. The only one who can is Jesus. And if you try to go to heaven without Jesus, you'll not make it, and you'll end up in that place called hell. Well, this is all under the first discovery, okay? And the first discovery is that the law is spiritual. The second discovery that he mentions here is that man is carnal and sold under sin. Look at, let me read verses 7 through 14 again. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Notice sin deceived me. I'm going to read on in a minute, but who's the author of sin? Satan is, right? And isn't he the great deceiver? He's the father of all lies, isn't he? For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. Here's the kicker right here. But I am carnal, sold under sin. The word carnal, by the way, just really refers to the fact that we are made of flesh and under the control of the flesh. And so we're carnal. And I believe that's true. I think we've talked about this before, but when a person gets saved, they're given a new nature. But the old nature's still there. By the way, in the rest of this chapter, if you're familiar with this chapter at all, this is the chapter where Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. That's all in the latter part of this chapter. So, what he's admitting to there, and we'll get in this next week, but what he's admitting to there is that he's still carnal. There's a part of him that's still carnal. There's a part of him that still wants to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. There's a part of him that still wants to do what feels good rather than maybe what God wants. See, carnal. That's the word. And he's the second discovery here is that man is carnal and sold under sin. At one time, I'm just reading from the notes here. At one time, Paul thought himself to be spiritual. Do you remember what Paul was before he got saved? What title did he go by? Pharisee. Sure. Pharisee. Okay. So was he religious? Oh, yes. Was he trying to follow, you know, the religious rules and regulations of the Jewish faith? Oh, yes. And at that time, did he think that he was a spiritual person? Oh, yes. And by the way, a lot of folks do today, too. They're church members. They go to church faithfully. They are members of whatever, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, whatever. And they consider themselves to be spiritual. But they're mistaken. in the biblical sense, to be spiritual means you're under the control of the Holy Spirit. To be a spiritual person or a spiritually minded person, you're under the control of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. The other folks that, like I was just describing, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, whatever, that think they're spiritual, what they really are is religious. And that's different. They might be good people, they might be moral people, but they're religious people. See? To really be truly spiritual in the biblical sense, you have to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Spiritually minded. Spiritual person. Okay? So, again, at one time Paul thought himself to be spiritual, but the law showed him that he was carnal and sinful. At one time Paul thought himself to be alive, but the law showed him that he was dead in sin. That's in verse number 9. He was dead in sin. The law, according to verse 11, the law slays the sinner. The only result you can come up with when you're really trying to follow the law, the only result you can come up with is death. Because the law condemns us to death. The conclusion is that mankind cannot be made holy by means of the law because his old nature cannot be controlled by laws. Let me ask you this. There's a lot of debate in America today about guns, right? Do you honestly believe in your heart that a new law passed by Congress and signed by our president would fix the problem? No, I don't either. How many of you believe that there are enough laws on the books already that if they were enforced, we'd be a lot better off than we are? You believe that? I mean, I do. I think most of these new laws, you know, they keep coming up with these new ideas about because of gun violence and things like that. Well, we need a new law. Oh, friend, another law on the books isn't going to fix the problem. Why do people, for instance, go into a school and shoot up all the young people in the school? It's a sin problem. Another law is not going to fix that. Man is carnal and sold under sin, and he can't obey the law even if he wants to. It doesn't fix the problem, see? And that's another way of illustrating what this says here. The conclusion is that mankind cannot be made holy by means of the law because his old nature cannot be controlled by laws. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Which, again, I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. If any one of us, and I include myself in here, if we're left to ourselves without Jesus, if we're left to ourselves, we're going to wreck and ruin every part of our life. You know that? Many, many times you've heard people talk about, if it weren't for the Lord saving me, the path that I was heading on, I might be in hell, or I might be a drug addict, or I might be a drunkard, or I might be a child molester, or I might be, you know, because that's where sin takes you. That's where sin ends up. Thank God, though, that Jesus interrupted our life, right? And saved us and put our feet on a brand new path and really changed us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He saved us and changed us and made us a new person in Christ. So last week, two husbands, first husband being the law, second husband being Christ. This week, two discoveries. First discovery is that the law is spiritual. Second discovery is that man is carnal and soul under sin. Next week, we're going to look at verses 15 to 25, and we're going to see two principles. And we'll see that. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that because when I see the things that Paul describes here, like I touched on just a few minutes ago about the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. When I read that from the Apostle Paul, it makes me realize I'm in pretty good company with the struggles that I go through, because I think most all of us go through struggles like that. We have a heart that wants to do right, but a lot of times we find ourselves doing the wrong thing and having to ask God forgiveness for the same thing we've asked Him forgiveness for before. Sure is good that He's merciful, huh? And exhibits grace toward us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this time. I do hope that this has been a sweet time of remembrance for all of us, to remember that the law doesn't save, only Jesus can save. And we are carnal and sinful by ourselves. But because Jesus has interrupted our life and saved us and put our feet on a new path, given us the Spirit of God, helped us to understand His Word, we have an opportunity now to live in a way that honors You and pleases You. Thank You for that. Please bless this Bible study that we've had tonight to the hearts and lives of everybody who's hearing it, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.